Wisconsin has joined a multi-state lawsuit against the Trump administration's rollback of the Endangered Species Act.
In a statement, Attorney General Josh Call says the new rules from environmental agencies are unlawful because they undermine key aspects of the act.
In addition to making it easier to remove a species from the endangered list, the changes weaken protections for threatened species. They also allow for economic assessments when deciding whether a species warrants protection. The administration says the rules modernize the Endangered Species Act and make it more transparent.
This law is credited with saving the bald eagle, the grizzly bear, and even the American alligator from extinction. In Wisconsin, more than 20 species are considered endangered or threatened.
Stan Temple is a professor emeritus of forest and wildlife ecology at UW-Madison. His expertise includes wildlife, wildlife conservation, and endangered species. Stan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Rob.
Well, can you explain what you see as some of the key changes coming from the Trump administration when it comes to the Endangered Species Act?
Well, it's a lot to get through because the proposed rule changes are included in over 300 pages. But the analyses that have been done basically looked at all of these and came to some sort of consensus on which ones were going to be sort of detrimental to the overall goals of the Endangered Species Act, which ones were largely housekeeping type things that weren't necessarily going to be good or bad. But the ones that have caused the most concern, which you highlighted in your introduction, really are of concern because they definitely make it more difficult for the Endangered Species Act to achieve its goals. Probably the one that's attracted the most attention is the requirement that when a species is listed, that the appropriate federal agencies have to include an economic analysis that details the costs of saving the species from extinction. That is a way around the Endangered Species Act of 1973's wording that says you cannot include economic factors in determining whether a species gets listed or not. But this says you simply have to make the information known. The big problem with this is that it's one-sided. It only talks about the costs of saving a species. It doesn't include a cost-benefit analysis that would also do the economic analysis of the benefits that might be associated. The other thing that has caused a great deal of concern is removing the current protection that is afforded to threatened species. Threatened species are one threshold below endangered. They are species that are likely to become endangered in the foreseeable future if we don't sort of correct the problems that they're facing. And in the past, those threatened species have essentially received the same level of protection as endangered species. The logic for that is obviously you don't want them to become endangered, so you need to initiate protection earlier.
Another change would make it easier to delist species, as I understand it. And there's been an argument, Stan, that, okay, we've added lots and lots of species to the endangered list and taken very few off. Maybe we're too reluctant to take species off. Was that a point worth revisiting?
Well, it's an interesting case because it gets a lot of attention. Those that are arguing for changing the Endangered Species Act will say, hey, look, it's been around for 46 years, and only about 2 or 3% of the species that are listed have recovered, have come off of the act. So they say that's a failure. Obviously, that low rate of recovery means the Endangered Species Act doesn't work. Those that are supporters of the Endangered Species Act, in the sort of glass half full, half empty sort of perspective, they say, well, we look at it a different way. Of all the species that have received protection, only 2% have gone extinct. That means that we have almost 98% of the species that are listed that have not gone extinct, and that means that the Endangered Species Act is successful. So it leaves essentially the 95% of the species that are sort of between these two extreme sort of assessments of the Endangered Species Act that really really ought to be of most concern to us. And there's been very little done to actually assess the status of the 95% of the species that are listed. For many of them, we simply don't monitor their status, and as a result, we don't really know whether they're increasing or decreasing or stable. For the ones that have been properly assessed, it's about 50-50. About 50% of them are recovering, are getting better, and about 50% are losing ground and continuing to decline.
Talking to Stan Temple from UW-Madison about the Endangered Species Act, Wisconsin's Attorney General added Wisconsin to a list of now 20 states challenging changes to the act. They say weakening the Endangered Species Act. These come from the Trump administration. Stan, can you talk us through the process under the Endangered Species Act as it's existed since 1973? How is a species added to that list?
Well, the process of adding a species is quite formalized. Someone, it can be within the federal government, it can be even a private citizen or some organization, can propose that a species be listed and provide some justification for why they think that is an appropriate action. Then the appropriate federal agencies, either the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service or the National Marine Fisheries Service, have to do an internal analysis to find out whether that request, that petition, is essentially warranted. And if it is, then the species is proposed for listing, either as a threatened species or an endangered species, depending on the severity of the crisis that the species is facing. And once a species is listed, then, of course, it receives all of the protective provisions of the Endangered Species Act. And perhaps most importantly, it includes a requirement that the federal government produce a recovery plan, some documentation of what is going to be required to prevent the extinction of this species, obviously, is the highest priority, but also in the longer term, to recover it to a secure status so that it no longer needs the protections of the Endangered Species Act. That can take a long time, of course. For many of these species, you know, it took decades and decades for them to decline and reach the endangered status. It's pretty unreasonable to think that it would take a shorter period of time to recover them from that status.
Arguing in favor of this change, there was an opinion piece in CNN from Interior Secretary David Bernhardt and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross. They say the Endangered Species Act has led to frustration among landowners, states, some industries, and here's a quote from them. They say this is particularly the case in western states where the act and the impacts associated with listing certain species, like habitat restoration, requirements for human activities like farming and ranching, consistent monitoring, can become lightning rods for controversy. They go on, we can do better for our wildlife and the people asked to sacrifice for their conservation. So there is pushback, especially in western states, saying, hey, the Endangered Species Act is placing onerous restrictions on us. What do you think, Stan?
Well, this is a classic struggle that we have, dilemma that we have here in the United States between the rights of private property owners and the public's interest in something that is part of the public trust. And in this case, the endangered species obviously are part of our public trust. They're species that we all have an interest in, and that sometimes, in relatively few cases, I might add, comes into conflict with the goals of a private landowner. To solve that problem obviously means doing everything possible to make it easier for the private landowner to essentially become a partner in the recovery process. And that's done by entering into conservation agreements with the private landowners in which both sides agree to what they are going to have to do in order to promote the recovery of a species. It is rare, very rare, that the federal government sort of comes down on a private landowner and sort of forces them to do something without their sort of consent and agreement that they want to do this. So if we're trying to eliminate that conflict One of the things that could be done, but isn't included in these rule changes, is to make that process of dealing with private landowners, and of course that's extremely important because more than three quarters of the land in the U.S. is in private ownership, but do everything we can to make it easier to resolve any conflicts. And there's really nothing in these proposed rule changes that necessarily make that process any easier or more efficient.
We're looking at the past and future of the Endangered Species Act with Stan Temple, Professor Emeritus of Forest and Wildlife Ecology at UW-Madison.
You can join us at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the Trump administration's weakening of the Endangered Species Act? Are you worried about driving species into extinction? Or do you think the law has been too cumbersome for landowners and states and industries? The number to call is 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org.
We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Keely Boltina. We're talking about the Endangered Species Act and a multi-state lawsuit against the Trump administration's rollback of the law. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call announced this week that the state is joining that challenge, and Stan Temple is our guest. He's a professor emeritus of forest and wildlife ecology at UW-Madison. He's also an expert in wildlife conservation and endangered species.
You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts or your questions for our guest. Do you think the country is putting businesses and landowners ahead of conservation, or vice versa? Are you happy to see some of these changes to the Endangered Species Act from the Trump administration? How do you think we should balance the interest in preserving species versus economic development of various sorts? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Stan, another argument from the administration is just because we're giving up on or we're making easier to delist species, take them off the endangered species list, doesn't mean we're giving up on them. That's just transferring it to the states to take up once the federal protections aren't needed anymore. Is there an argument there?
Well, it would be nice if that argument held water. The problem is that most states do not have very effective endangered species legislation, and that includes Wisconsin. Our endangered species legislation goes all the way back to the mid 1970s, and that endangered species legislation in Wisconsin, as was the case in many other states, was basically pulled together to allow states to be eligible for federal matching funds after the Endangered Species Act of 1973 was passed into law. But for most states, and I really do mean most, their endangered species legislation is even more in need of revisiting than at the federal level. If that happened, and the states were able to have more effective endangered species legislation, then it might make sense to transfer more of the responsibility to the individual states that are involved in the endangered species, whatever that species might be. But right now, that is not going to improve the outcome for most endangered species, not the least of which is that there are relatively few endangered species that are restricted to the confines of a single state. So if the federal government passes off responsibility to the state level, it adds the additional sort of hurdle of getting multiple states to somehow agree with one another on exactly what the plan for recovery of the species might be like.
I want to bring in a caller now at 800-642-1234. Kelly is with us in Milwaukee. Kelly, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yes, I am deeply concerned about a lot of the rollbacks that have happened with this current administration for our environmental policies, including this one. I feel like there's still so much that we have to learn about the interrelationship of all of the species. And if you lose one, it's a domino effect that so many others are affected and on which our very lives could depend. So that's a concern. A question I have is, how are how are we assessing for new species to be added to the at-risk list?
Can you say that again? I'm sorry, I didn't hear all of that.
Thanks, Kelly. She was wondering where we are on adding new species to the list now in 2019.
Well, actually, there are quite a few changes to the endangered species list that are going to be happening this year and in coming years. There's been a reassessment of the status of many species, and as a result, a surprising number of species are actually coming off the endangered species list. Some of them because they have legitimately recovered and no longer need the protection. For example, here in Wisconsin, we can point to some success of having the Kirtland's warbler delisted. It's no longer considered an endangered species. And although it has sort of bounced back and forth through the courts, the gray wolf, the timber wolf in Wisconsin, similarly has largely recovered and no longer needs the protection of the Endangered Species Act. But at the same time, the addition of new species has been somewhat problematic because administratively it's possible to put essentially a moratorium on the listing of more species, and that's been done a number of times through the history of the Endangered Species Act. So what we're faced with often is a very big backlog of species that have been proposed for listing but simply haven't yet been listed, either because there's been some formal delay in the process or simply because the endangered species program is so overburdened and underfunded that they just haven't been able to process all of them.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Stan Temple from UW-Madison about the Endangered Species Act. Wisconsin is now on board in a lawsuit against the Trump administration for changes to the Endangered Species Act. One of those changes that we haven't gotten into, Stan, I understand these new guidelines would limit the amount we could talk about climate change when it comes to endangered species. What do you see there?
Yeah, this one plays, you might say, on some of the language in the Endangered Species Act of 1973. And a lot of the language that was included allows for some flexibility on the part of the agencies that are going to be enforcing the law. And one of those had to do with when a species can be listed as threatened. And the definition, the threshold, is that it's a species that will likely become endangered in the foreseeable future. And the changes that the Trump administration has proposed focus on that foreseeable future. And what they have basically done is limit the time horizon in which the biologists who are looking at the species status, the time horizon over which they can decide that this species is going to become endangered. And it particularly, perhaps you could almost say strategically, was targeted to eliminate consideration of climate change as a factor that might cause species to become endangered. As climate change is proceeding, obviously for species that are going to be affected, it's sometimes going to be some time in the future before they actually become endangered. So shortening the period in which you can consider the threat to them by climate change essentially means that we're putting off addressing their conservation needs by doing something about climate change.
Do you think that Congress should revisit the Endangered Species Act to adjust to new realities, possibly including climate change?
Well, it's hard to say whether it needs congressional action or not. Congress has always been sort of between a rock and a hard place about the Endangered Species Act. On one hand, it's one of the most popular pieces of legislation Congress has ever passed. It was virtually unanimously passed in 1973, signed into law by Republican President Richard Nixon. And since then, and right up to the present time, it's had anywhere from 85 to 90% public approval in every poll that's been taken. And Congress, of course, finds itself in a difficult position because they're often being lobbied by special interests who are in some way impacted by our national commitment to prevent species from going extinct. So on the one hand, they know it's an overwhelmingly popular piece of legislation that people don't want to see changed. On the other hand, they've got special interests saying we really have to do something to get the burden off our backs. So what do? They basically kick the can down the road, and they don't really do anything substantive with the Endangered Species Act per se. What they do is what the Trump administration has done, and that is try to tweak the rules, the rulemaking process, which is the internal process within the federal government, within the agencies, that determines how the law is going to be interpreted and enacted. And that can be done without Congress having to basically make a commitment. So those are the changes that we've seen, and those are the ones that the Trump administration has zeroed in on, things that can be changed easily by administrative action without congressional authorization.
Stan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
That's Stan Temple, Professor Emeritus of Forest and Wildlife Ecology at UW-Madison. We talked to him about the Endangered Species Act.
Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, the firing and rehiring of a school security guard in Madison has drawn attention to zero tolerance policies in districts around the nation. We'll look at the impact of zero tolerance tomorrow on Central Time.
That's coming up tomorrow, along with Food Friday here on Central Time.